Hey everyone, this is Casual Fanatic.
Film reviews without the shoes.
I'm Elena, your casual viewer.
And I'm Cayman, your fanatic. How's it going?
Good. I've been on a podcast in a really long time. I know. All so weird.
Any announcements? Thing? What you've been up to since last time you were on?
Look at you, just assuming they remember who I am.
Of course, they remember who you are.
Well, I just got off work, so that was fun. A little bit delirious.
This is Elena, by the way, for anyone who doesn't remember.
Cayman's fiance. But exciting news is I got into vet school last week. So start in August, we move in July. So, I mean, no change for your viewers, but you will be in a new location.
It's true.
Coming 2-3 months from now. So that will be exciting and a little stressful.
Luca, unfortunately, could not join us this week. He's a little busy, but...
A little busy bee,
but he'll be back next week. So that's why Elena's joining me today.
Just a good old fill-in.
Yeah, nothing really new has happened with me other than learning about you getting into vet school.
Yeah, I mean, the new thing is you also are now moving.
I mean, yeah, true.
Yeah, I am aggressively already like getting rid of things. It's like spring cleaning, but then now add you're moving in 2 months. So it's like a crack cocaine version of spring cleaning right now. Mm-hmm. Cayman's favorite. He's really enjoying me going, can I get rid of this? Can I get rid of this? Can I get rid of this?
Indeed. But anyways, today you're going to be talking about a relatively new movie called Renfield. Came out, I want to say, a month or so ago.
Oh, very new. I didn't even realize it was that fresh.
Yeah, it's like maybe 2 months. It's like pretty heckin' new.
All right.
It was directed by Chris McKay, written by Ryan Ridley, and based on a story by Robert Kirkman, and stars Nicholas Hoult, Nicholas Cage, and Awkwafina. So, Elena, what did you think about Renfield?
I loved it. I thought it was a really good movie. If I'll be honest, when we watched it, I was also just off a long 12-hour shift, and I didn't think I was going to be able to watch the whole film. Every part of me was ready to be like, okay, I'm all done, and like quit like a fourth of the way in. But actually really enjoyed it, loved it, kept watching, like very addicting once you start. I love the main character. That's Nicholas Hoult.
Yes.
Right? That's that person? Okay. Obviously a very casual viewer. but I really like him. He's enjoyable to watch in the movies. I feel like, yeah, it was, yeah, entertaining. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. Real quick before I say my thing, I did forget just to mention the budget for this movie is $65 million.
Oh, God.
And it ended up only making $24 million. So it actually did real bad. But it also, I don't know what happened, but it wasn't in theaters for very long. Oh, yeah, look, it says right here, opening weekend was April 16th. And it's like just now May, and it's already not in theaters anymore. So it only had like two and a half weeks being in theaters.
Also, there's like, I feel like no ads. I remember like one day I saw an ad. Dropped off so
much. I saw a couple ads, but I don't know. Maybe.
Did they spend too much on production?
Well, I think it also doesn't help that the new Guardians movie just came out.
Oh, did it?
So I bet a lot of theaters were trying to like push out some other stuff to make room for that, because Disney's like, we need this showing in like at least half of your theaters.
Damn. Well, that's disappointing, because I think that this movie would have made a lot more money if they had maybe advertised differently. Because if I'll be honest, when I saw the ads and like trailers or whatever, I had no idea how many like good actors were in here. First of all, they didn't even like show it off.
Yeah.
And then second of all, they didn't really do a very good job portraying kind of like how the movie vibes were gonna be. Like, it didn't feel like a movie that was even like, oh, I have to see it, you know? And then I saw it and I was like, oh, this is really good. Like, people should see this.
Yeah.
But I feel like the trailer didn't really do the best job of making it, like...
Honestly, don't even remember a whole lot of the trailer. Exactly. I remember there... And maybe this is just the entire trailer, but all I remember from the trailer is the therapy scene where he is like, I have to get out of a toxic relationship. And mm-hmm. then you find out that his toxic relationship is Dracula. And then,
yeah.
But I don't remember any other scenes that were in the trailer.
Me either. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. But overall, I thought it was really fun. Definitely not like, it's rated R, and there's a lot of bad words, a lot of blood.
The blood is, yeah, like, also very like old video game
gruesome. Yeah, it's definitely not like realistic. It's no. Like, it, like, humans in this movie are basically giant blood bags. Like, there's way more blood than is possible inside of a person.
Like, also zero organs, zero muscle, zero anything. Like, yeah. Literally, it's physically just blood whenever their bodies pop.
But yeah, definitely not one to take the kids to, but
I mean, unless they're also already playing like video games and stuff, who knows.
But yeah, I thought it was fun.
Yeah, I thought it was fun too.
All right, well then, let's step into the boxing ring. For those of you just joining us, if this is your first episode, there is a website called letterboxd.com, and Elena and I are going to see who can come up with a summary closest to the summary on that website.
It's supposed to be like really simple or something?
Yeah, they're usually only like two or three sentences. There have been some long ones, but it's not common.
And you haven't looked yet?
No.
Okay.
That'd be cheating.
Gosh, last time I played this it was really bad. So it should go really well this time. You go first.
Okay. I'll say Robert Montague Renfield is a man who has decided to end his relationship with the Dark Prince Dracula. That's it.
Cool. Wild that you remembered his whole name.
He says it like five times throughout the movie.
I 5 second memory.
Yeah, well,
I barely remembered his name was Renfield before you sat down and said the title of the movie. Okay. I'm just like not gonna think and start speaking, and it should go really good. Mm-hmm, Dracula's long assistant breaks free from his unhealthy companionship and finds humanity.
Not bad. Are you ready for this? The official description here says, having grown sick and tired of his centuries as Dracula's lackey, Renfield finds a new lease on life, and maybe even redemption, when he falls for feisty, perennially angry traffic cop Rebecca Quincy. I don't know if that's necessarily accurate.
He did get her flowers and stuff.
Yeah, but I don't know. It didn't really feel like... This makes it feel like it's a love story.
It
but
does
there was
make
like,
it seem like that.
They just like started hanging out.
He fell in love with her perseverance.
Yeah, it not was like he was inspired by her.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like, oh my god, I want you to be my girlfriend kind of a thing.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Interesting. Interesting.
Interesting is for sure.
Well, I'd say we both did a pretty terrible job at that.
Yeah, I don't think either of us won that. I mean, I would have to give it to you simply for using more of the movie. And as
none of that is in here, though, so.
Yeah, well, still.
I think I can't even think of a tiebreaker either, so we're just gonna have to let that one sit.
I'll give it to you. Mine was really bad. So, champion you.
I don't know about that. Neither of us mentioned Rebecca.
I totally forgot about her. I'll be real.
I feel like I think if I had to get real nitty gritty, I think you'd probably win this one, because this says Dracula's lackey, and you said his assistant. I just said they had a relationship. I didn't say what that relationship was. So I think you got
closer, I said found actually. Humanity too, and he said found redemption.
Well, there you go. So
I guess I'm better than you. You'll win this one.
All right then. We'll take a quick break and then come right back and start talking about it.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Well, since Luca and his strange friend are not here, I'll just say that now is the time that we are going to be spoiling this movie. So if you don't want to for this movie to be spoiled for you, then maybe, you know, just take a break real quick and come back after you've seen it. Go check it out. It's a good movie. I think Elaine and I would both recommend it. So go watch it, come back, and then you can listen to us.
Spoiler alert!
Nice.
In honor for Luca.
All right. What? You said you you completely forgot to take notes. So,
well, forgot is a big word. Simply did it. So that's really what happened.
I think that counts as forgetting.
All right.
But is there anything in particular you remember? I know you said you didn't even remember his name. So,
well, I'm like a visual storyline kind of girl. Like, I know what happened.
Okay.
You know, I just like, why remember names when you could just like stare at a screen and
fair enough.
See a face. Are, is there like, do we have to go in order?
Nope, doesn't have all to right. be in order, just whatever.
First you want to talk thing about. I can think of that bothered me. Just going straight into what bothered me.
Fair enough.
The power thing. The whole, what was it called? Like, assistant or whatever thing, or his, not, he was his master and he was his companion. No, his, it's like a fancy word that they used. Servant. Not necessarily.
Familiar.
Familiar. Yep, that's the one. So, first of all, it felt like the whole movie, like he could only have one familiar. It felt like a special role that he presented to Renfield. He could only have one, especially since they struggled to even like maintain themselves and everything. It made it feel like, why wouldn't you make an army of familiars if you could make as many as you wanted? But then at the end of the movie, they just like, oh, by the way, there's everyone's a familiar now, which not my favorite. Second thing that bothered me on to the familiar thing is that he eats bugs to get power. Okay. Familiars eat bugs to get power.
Mm-hmm.
My problem with that is, how long does this power last? Sometimes it lasted longer. Sometimes he was stronger or less strong. And I was thinking, okay, maybe it's the amount of bugs he eats. But if that's so, like, is like, he would sometimes like re-eat bugs mid-fight. Did it just like run out, or like, I don't know. And also like the scene on the way to go, like do the big final, whatever fight scene, he was just like sitting in the car, like smashing a bunch of bugs in his mouth. And like the whole joke with like, it's in your teeth. But then his eyes didn't glow then. And every single time his eyes glow when he eats bugs.
Pretty sure they did glow in the car.
I don't know. I don't remember it. Maybe I just don't remember. And they did. But I felt like not every time his eyes glowed, and maybe I just didn't notice it, or I just like, it was getting used to the eye glowing thing. But if it is like a time limit, I just slapped the microphone. If it is like a time limit, why would you eat the bugs in the car? Not there yet. Like, wouldn't you just smash them as soon as you came inside? Especially since a lot of the fight scenes were not even that long and you would have to rebug.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this feels like a very short superpower. Or is it like a, it's like a power level thing. The more you use it, the faster it trains.
I think I was reading it. It didn't really bother me. I didn't think about it that much because it was just like, I don't know. It was just like, yeah, he eats bugs and then he gets superpowers. I didn't really care too much about, because it was just like silly fight scenes. But the way that I was understanding it was, it's like an energy level sort of thing. It's like bugs give him more energy, and like, there's not a time limit on it. It's just like, sometimes he uses all that energy.
Okay.
But like, if you eat him in the car and then you're just sitting there, you're still going to have all that energy when you get there.
Okay. All right. I can accept that. But what I won't accept is that he does the big fight scene with Edward or Stewart or something Ward, dude. What was that name? What was the dude's name?
Teddy Lobos? Or Teddy Lobo. Lobos is the family because it's plural, but...
It's Ted Ward. That's what I'm thinking of.
Ted Ward?
Yeah, look. It's Ted Ward.
Okay. But okay. They called him Teddy 99% of the time.
Well, Ted Ward. He...
Played by Ben Schwartz, who is, I think, was very funny in this
movie. Yeah, I like him in most things. He's hilarious in Parks and Rec is what he's in, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like him. But he snorted a centipede. And then he was way stronger than Renfield was during that fight scene. And
yeah, I didn't feel like their power levels were a little off.
Like a little off, especially someone who's now been a familiar for literally decades.
But also, perhaps, well, I don't know, because I guess like throughout the movie, Teddy was kind of portrayed as like kind of a loser and like had never shot anyone before, and he just like has other people do all of his stuff for him. But who knows, maybe like even as just a normal human, he was like already a little bit stronger. And so having
like a lanky little bitch.
I don't know, man. I'm just trying to make excuses.
Yeah, you're making excuses. Like there's no reason for him to have somehow more power. And then also no reason for him to have only been able to like snort one centipede and he's just like good. Or is it like, I don't know, like, oh, I ate a gummy and the drugs aren't as strong, but if you like snort cocaine, it's more strong. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd imagine maybe the size of the bug makes a difference. And he was a giant centipede.
Yeah, but like Renfield ate like 40 crickets.
That's true. I don't know, man.
Like 40 crickets gotta equal like one centipede.
Like I said, I didn't think about the bugs that much.
I did.
Watching all the like people getting ripped in half and yeah, he that was tore a guy's thing. Face off.
Oh my god. Like the way he killed people was just like, I don't understand how this is happening. Like, what? Like, how are you killing people like this?
Yeah.
Wild to me.
Also, while we're talking about the Lobo family, I also would like to shout out to Shohreh Ghoshlu, who I think she is amazing all the time.
And yeah,
I
remember she's great.
The first scene that she was in, she was like kind of like in the background because Teddy goes into, I think it's like a hotel or something, and the person's like, hey, your mom wants to see you downstairs, blah blah blah. He goes down there, and the second I heard her voice, I was like, ooh.
Yeah, well, she's also always the evil mother. Have you ever had her not be some sort of evil mother, mistress, wife?
Would say most of the time not
really.
She's usually a good guy.
Oh, I guess you're right, but her voice just sounds like kind of like it's so gravelly. Uh-huh. It makes me think evil, but she's always like one of the main powerful people.
Yeah, she definitely almost always has a position of power.
Yeah.
But not necessarily an evil powerful role.
Yeah, I guess all I see is like she has like a head like a microphone on her head at all times, and like or like speaking to a general is what I see in my head.
I think I guess we'll just keep rolling on the performances. I think almost everyone in this movie did a good job. Obviously Nicholas Holt is very charming. I think he does a good job. Awkwafina, I didn't even know was in this movie until we started watching it.
Though.
But yeah, liked her. Nicolas Cage, I feel like, went full out. Like, especially there's a monologue at Renfield's apartment where he's like talking about how he's like telling Renfield like you're not a victim, you did all of this by choice, you're also evil, blah blah blah. And it was like such a Nicolas Cage performance.
Yeah,
but
it definitely had Cage signature all over it.
So good performances all around. I don't think there was anyone that I was like disappointed with or anything like that. But yeah, I think the moving on a little bit, we mentioned the action scenes. That was also something that I feel like didn't really come across in the trailer. Mm-hmm. But the one of the first ones, he like goes to, so he's in this therapy meeting and listen to all these people's stories. And one of them is talking about how her boyfriend is like really controlling and he's like into ska music, which is like, it was such a silly little thing, but I feel like they didn't overplay the joke. It was like funny.
Yeah, it was just enough in there.
Yeah.
Like the lyrics on the thing, like, what are these crazy demonic words? And then like Rebecca was just like, oh, I think those are ska lyrics.
But he gets there and apparently the boyfriend, I don't remember what his name is, but he like stole a bunch of drugs from the Lobo family, which is why they get involved. And they send like a hitman to go kill the boyfriend. But then Renfield is there because he was also going to kill the boyfriend. And they get into a big fight and he ends up punching this guy's head straight off of his body.
Clean off.
It goes like through a window, literally across a street, so and into the like side of a car.
30 feet away. Would have gone farther if not ran into the car window.
Yeah. And so the second that happened, it was like a whole different vibe. I was like, okay, that's the kind of movie this is going to be.
I kind of putting it on, like working onto that, is I really enjoyed like the way they kind of presented Ted during like the chase scene with the like police chase scene.
Yeah.
I thought it was really funny. It added humor to it. And it like honestly was accurate of what he, how like a rich drug lord son would act, you know? Like, I feel like a lot of times movies will be like, he carefully planned and he kept cool. And he's like, ah, ah, and just like screaming and freaking out and being so dumb.
Yeah.
More dumb you could possibly imagine. He could have easily got through that checkpoint in a second.
Of course it doesn't matter at all because
the Lobos own everything.
Yeah, in this movie, the entire government is just like laughably corrupt. Like literally every single person except for Awkwafina's character works for the bad guys.
Yeah, I really wanted there to be literally one other person who wasn't a bad guy, but I'm wondering if it's just was that section of the like department. But then I'm also like, but no other department is like, oh, hey, guys, this one department seems to be like all corrupt.
I don't know, man.
Like that wasn't a red flag to anyone.
Well, I mean, they guess they did a good job of covering it up.
A very good job if they were like supplying police wagons to the Lobos family.
Yeah.
That's insane. Like, I don't know. Also, especially since she had that whole speech where she was like, we might not be the richest or the most powerful or the blah, blah, blah,
yeah,
but we are the most feared. And I'm like, okay, fear only goes so long. And if you are making a whole entire government your bitch,
yeah,
fear cannot be the only factor. Especially people with, like, weapons and guns and... Or guns or weapons. Lol.
Weapons and guns.
And knives. But no, weapons and drugs and, like, I don't know, like, power with people. I don't... It can only... I don't know.
Also, side note, I did think it was a little strange. Obviously, also not a big deal because this is a very, like... It's like a popcorn flick. Like, it's not... It doesn't take itself very seriously. So I also didn't take it very seriously. But I think it's a little funny that the, like, the bad guys are a presumably Mexican, but could be any other Spanish descent. But Lobo is a Spanish last name. So you would assume that the family is Hispanic. But Ben Schwartz is Jewish. And I'm pretty sure Shohreh Aghdashloo is Iranian. So... It just was a little strange to see such different people playing the Lobos family.
I don't know. I feel like it was fine. I didn't even think about that. Didn't even process.
Well, we also thought a lot about the bugs.
So I did. I focused on a lot of different things than you did.
But like I said, it wasn't like a problem for me. I just thought it was interesting. One thing I did also really like. So in the beginning of the movie, they do like a quick... Like, oh, here's the backstory of, like, how Renfield came to serve Dracula. And I don't know if they, like, if it was some sort of digital replacement or if they just actually refilmed all of those scenes. But they basically go through, like, shot for shot, a couple of the scenes from the Bela Lugosi Dracula movie, which I'm pretty sure, I don't know when that came out. It was the 60s maybe, but I'm also just pulling numbers out of my butt. I don't know when that movie came out, but it's like one of the OG Dracula films, and they recreated a lot of those scenes, and I just thought that was fun.
Oh, I didn't notice.
I
also have a question.
Yeah.
Statement. I don't know.
Okay.
In their little hotel cave, he had like blood bags on blood bags on blood bags, and I'm just like, is he just being Dracula and being like a sassy little turd and he wants like a fresh human? Or like, why can't you just give him like blood from an innocent child
maybe
in a blood bag?
They like already have robbed all of the blood banks. And so they have to, I don't know what the supply line is like with donated blood, but I'd imagine people aren't donating blood that often. So once you like, yeah, we stole all the blood bags, it's going to take a while for that to refill.
Hospitals need to have blood bags at all times supplied though.
Well, if Dracula comes through and takes them all, I don't know how they're going to get more.
I guess. I don't know. But then...
They also make a point in this movie about, like apparently bad guys taste worse, which, to my knowledge, is, like, not a normal
thing. They taste impure. And they taste like they've been corrupt.
Yeah. But that's, like, not... like, normally for... At least the vampire stuff that I've watched, it doesn't really matter whether the person is good or bad. Like, yeah. Blood is blood.
Yeah.
Not that it mattered, though. It led to some funny setups, like the whole thing where he's like, I want nuns or an unsuspecting tourist couple or a bus full of cheerleaders. And then Renfield goes to a bar and all of the exact things he said were there.
And he was like, well, shit. Another thing that confused me was, so they move around everywhere because what ends up happening is Dracula gets caught or something, or he gets eventually found out and someone tries to hurt him.
Yeah.
But then they have this huge big scene where he gets like burned to a corpse and those people were like, we're the last ones. He'll never be caught again. Yeah. He keeps moving and almost dying every time. So I'm like,
well, I think that last one was the last time.
And it took just that long.
He got really fucking burnt.
But like that was like, I don't like 1900s. And now we're in like 2011.
That's only a decade.
That's a long time. Not a decade. Not 10 years.
Okay, 1 year over a decade.
1900.
1999 is 11 years before 2011.
I didn't say 1999. I said 1900.
You said 1900s, which is a 1,000-year period.
Okay, and so you picked the very last 19?
I'm just saying. I don't think it was that long ago.
Okay, I'm talking 1,000 years came in.
I don't think the burn scene was from 1,000 years previously.
Okay, fine. 500. 500 years. Going once, going twice, 300.
Okay, either way.
Either way, I just feel like he looked like nasty nanny. Whoa, I forgot how to speak. But
nasty nanny
poo poo. He looked like poo poo pants. Really bad poo poo pants. And then he's over here like, this corrupt blood won't make me heal. And then just like next scene, only needs like 10% more and he's healed. And I'm like, whoa.
Well, I think because that's also where the like good guy, bad guy thing comes in. Because apparently like innocent people heal him way faster. And the whole thing is that Renfield has only been feeding him bad guys. So he's been healing really slowly.
Yeah, but he never fed him good guys when he healed so fast. He healed really fast and then he killed a bunch of good guys because he was strong from being healed.
Well, I don't know, man.
You keep giving excuses.
Well, no, because like it's not like he doesn't heal at all from bad guys. And he did because I don't remember the order of the scenes, but he was like really nasty with like the ear on his neck and like his skin was all peeling off. And then at one point, Teddy Lobo takes a couple of his men over to Dracula's lair.
But those are all corrupt bad people.
Yeah, I know, but there was like 15 of them.
Nah.
Didn't count, but I feel like there was a good number of them.
Yeah.
Also,
why didn't he keep all the corpses in a weird little cage in the back?
I don't know. It also, that was another thing that I did notice is I feel like for talking about how much blood he needs to heal and all that, I feel like he didn't really drink that much blood.
No, he just every like every fight scene,
everyone. he'd bite a person and he'd be like, and then that was it. And then he just left the dead body.
He has like crazy suck power. Like
he just drains them all.
But then he went to that like group meeting or whatever and didn't drink any of them. And I'm like, bro, this is your key moment. These are all innocents.
He only bit like two people there. Everyone else he was like just ripping apart with his hands.
And I'm just like, bro, drink all these hoes. Like they're obviously all innocent. Like, and that's what you're after, right? Like
he sucked on the
the last dude.
The like main
the main dude.
Organizer person for a while. Oh, and also the I didn't realize this until I was doing a little bit more research afterwards because I haven't read the original Dracula novel. But the bug eating thing is from the book. In the story, Renfield is like a patient at an insane asylum who becomes Dracula's assistant, and so he believes that eating bugs gives him more power, but in the book, it's like, it's probably just he's a crazy person.
Oh.
But then in this movie, like, it actually does give him more power.
But then my confusion about that would be, like, was he strong or anything? Or
no.
He was just, like, a random crazy person that would help him?
Yeah.
So he would just, like, die off eventually?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure both Renfield and Dracula die at the end of the book.
Oh. I'm yawning so much. I'm so tired. I also like helped with the surgery like right when my shift ended.
That's fair.
So it added 2 more hours to my shift. But right. I had a thought. Thought is fleeting. I can grab it. Found it. Grabbed it. Okay. So my thought. Be prepared. Okay. Drum roll, please. Now the Dracula, is he like dead? Is he like Loki dead? Is he never dies?
So they mentioned that a little bit, because at the end they get him into a protection circle, which is something we saw at the beginning of the movie, where there's like you put a ring of powder and then you say some magical words and any like evil spirits or something can't escape from the circle. And at the end, Rebecca makes a protection circle out of cocaine. Yeah,
out of cocaine. That's funny.
And then because they're in the Lobos hideout, they have like a bunch of torture weapons. And so they just like go to town and pretty much like mince Dracula up into tiny little bits. And then they like mix it with holy water and then turn the body parts in holy water into concrete and then form those concrete into little like, they put it all in ice cube trays. So they're like tiny little blocks of Dracula concrete. And then they pour all of that into the sewer. Yeah. But then Renfield's like, honestly, don't know if this will kill him or not, but at least it'll take him a really long time to come back.
Yeah, true. But then my confusion is, if he were to be dead, would Renfield now resort into being back to a mortal?
See, that's the other thing. I don't know. I don't know if like being because it seems like being Dracula's familiar is what gives people the like eat power. Bugs become a superpower person, but maybe it's like a one-time thing and it's like it can't be taken back. Because I also thought that it was going to be like, since he's trying to rebel against Dracula, he'd be like, okay, you're not my familiar
anymore. But he never took it away.
But he never took it away. So I don't know, maybe he can't take it away. It's like once you make a familiar, that's just...
Or he's just a cocky little bitch and doesn't even care that he, you know?
Maybe, I don't know.
And he's just using him as a familiar, because remember he did the whole mind-speaking thing to bother him?
Yeah.
So maybe he's just like, why would I take it away?
Well, he could have taken it away like during the last fight.
I think he was still cocky at that point and didn't care.
Yeah,
and and then by the time he realized he wasn't all and powerful, he was like too unconscious to now whatever ritual it is to take it away, do it.
I also thought it was kind of funny, but also kind of weird that they just like, so obviously a lot of people die in this movie, but at the end you see they have like a literal gallon of Dracula's blood and they're just like going around bringing people back to life. And because Dracula's blood has healing powers, apparently. But also, I'm like, first of all,
the repercussions, wild. Where are they?
And also, like, maybe it's different because he's magical undead or something like that. But like, blood coagulates pretty quickly. I don't know how long you could keep like just an open container of blood.
Like, I guess it's of large volume, so it would take a little bit longer. But if I draw blood in a syringe, even if it's a, like, I don't know, like a fat 10 mil, that thing is coagulating in like a minute.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not rocking it, like, it's gonna, unless it's like of course like someone who has clotting issues, then it's not gonna clot that very fast.
So maybe
Dracula has clotting issues, and that's also maybe he's like low-key, I don't know, anemic, and that's why he's aggressively drinking blood from everyone, and he's supplying himself with new rounds of fresh blood.
Yeah,
because one wound, he's empty.
Also, I don't know what the like timeline is of like how long this movie takes place in, but he like goes back and revives all of the therapy people as well. And I'm like, were their bodies just sitting in that room the whole time? Like, no one came to pick them up?
Also my question. And if they were buried, that would have been a hilarious scene to be like one like 10-second scene of them like in a graveyard trying to dig everyone up.
Yeah.
Also, cremation. What if someone got cremated? Do you just pour splatter blood on their ashes? Yeah, were those ashes in someone's home?
Extent of the healing powers. How did you find that? Or like if there's like, if someone's arm got torn off, do you just like pour some blood and then like hold the arm there while it heals? Or does it regrow an arm? I don't know.
I don't know. What if like you put blood on both arms? Two humans?
Yeah, the arm also grows a whole new body.
Yeah. How many of these therapy
people? I've got twins now.
They also like low-key just left a jug of that blood at the therapy session. I was like, hey guys, maybe let's not leave a all and powerful like life juice behind. Yeah, you know, like maybe keep some on like a necklace in a little test tube for later. Like, I don't know.
You know, you got me on it.
Sorry.
Yeah, I think also this movie was just like really funny. Like there was, I don't even know that there was necessarily a whole lot of like outright jokes, but just like the way that people were saying things was funny. And also like the, like we were saying earlier, like the action sequences are just so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, I think during one of them, he, first of all, pours an entire, like, what are those things called? An ant farm. Pours a whole ant farm in his mouth. And then he, like, rips a guy's arms off, uses them as nunchucks for a little bit, and then throws them and impales two other guys with this guy's arms. But yeah.
Sorry. I gotta ask that school question. Yeah, no, I the fight scenes were crazy. Just absurd. I think the biggest, yeah, the biggest one, like, was the ant scene was insane, but then also
they pointed out at the restaurant a little bit, because Awkwafina's character, Rebecca, is like, did you just cut a guy's arm off with a serving tray? And he's like, yes, I did.
And he goes, adrenaline. I think one of the scenes that gets, like, a little bit forgotten easily is the restaurant scene, but I thought that was, like, a really fun scene.
Yeah.
And it was, like, a really key moment of his transition to now go properly against Dracula.
Yeah. I will say, I wish there was, that was probably my biggest disappointment. Also, just want to mention real quick, because I'm staring at the IMDb page here. Kyle, the whole fuck you Kyle joke, I feel like got old after the second one. They did it like 5 times and it just, like, it wasn't funny after a while. My biggest disappointment is that I wish that there was a, like, more of a character arc for Renfield. I feel like they make such a big deal about, like, and he accepts it at the end. He's like, no, Dracula didn't force me to do any of the bad stuff. I was doing bad stuff, blah, 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 blah. But I feel like we never saw him do any bad stuff. Like, even at the when the movie starts, he's already trying to be a good guy. And he's like, at the therapy session, he's like, oh, well, I'll just, like, all of these people are talking about their abusive partners, and I'll just get all those guys and serve them to Dracula. But I feel like it would have been more interesting if at the beginning of the movie he was just, like, getting innocent people and not giving a fuck, and then he realizes, like, hey, maybe I shouldn't be doing this,
or at least doing it in the very, very beginning. Because there was also that scene when he does like kill off the last, or quote unquote last, vampire hunters. He was also considering helping them. Remember, he goes, I remember thinking, oh, well, whatever, kill him, you know?
Yeah.
Because he was already then regretting the decision.
Yeah. Like, when the movie starts, he's already, I feel like, past the, he's over the hill in his
I wanted to transition. See at least one scene of the hill.
Yeah. Because then there's not, like, there's never a point
where you're like, where he decides to be
good. Like, yeah. He starts off good, and then it's just like the movie is just him working out a way to be better.
It just makes you not believe the whole he was bad. Yeah. I just, like, I don't really think it's true, because also this whole random, I didn't really like how they were like, oh, his wife and his child. Why do we have to put that in there? You didn't really even get on a story.
They weren't even, there was never a scene with them.
There's never a scene about it. I've never seen them. I don't know about them. They never tell him, like, does he use them as bait for Dracula?
I think he mentioned that because he was from
Los Angeles or something. I don't know.
I think he's from England. He has, like, a little bit of a British accent, so I feel like he was English.
But I thought there was a whole, like, overseas transition.
Well, yeah, because his family was in England, and then he was a real estate salesman, I think. Mm. And he traveled to Transylvania to try and get a big deal, and that's where he met Dracula, and he decided to stay there, and he abandoned his family in England.
Damn. I feel like it would have been kind of crazy, and, like, maybe a reason to mention the wife and daughter if he, like, found his daughter at, like, 80 years old or something and was like,
yeah,
hey, I'm really sorry, or I don't know.
Yeah, I guess
then also I would have been like, why the fuck are we spending time and wasting time on this whole story arc? That's unnecessary.
Yeah. Well, I think, yeah, because that's the other thing, because they mention when they find Rebecca finds his blood on a pen and then sends it with her sister, who's in the FBI. And they're like, oh, yeah, this person is connected to a string of murders for the past, like, 80 years or something like that. Mm. And so I'm guessing that means that he has been with Dracula for about that long.
Okay.
So that means he would have, I don't know when this movie takes place. I'm assuming it's modern day. So, like, 2020-ish. So 80 years ago would have been
1940.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm assuming 19.
I said 1900, so.
You said 1900. You were very forceful about that.
Yeah, I was.
But even then, if he joined him in 1940, I feel like the last vampire hunting scene would have been.
Also, I'd just like to say I'm a complete idiot. At one point, I said 1,000 years. I meant that's not.
You meant 100. Right.
Yeah.
You did say that. I did. Because 1,000 years would have been 1,000. That would have been the year 1,000.
Yeah.
That's all right.
I'm going to be a doctor.
Yeah. But yeah, I feel like, yes, it was a really fun movie, and you kind of can just like turn your brain off and you're just like,
yeah, you're just enjoying
buckets
it.
Of blood.
Yeah.
And it is also like strange because the blood is obviously like a lot of it is very clear, like you mentioned earlier, very clearly CGI.
Yeah.
And because there's even like there are scenes where he'll like jump through a person and there's like a huge splash of blood, but then right after he's like, he doesn't have any blood on him.
Yeah. They really do try to make it like as not rated R as possible.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it obviously is like, it is very rated R, but it's also like not in like a Saw, like a gory kind of a way.
No, I'm a little like wussy, and I wasn't ever like scared.
It's like very cartoonish violence.
Yeah.
I forgot where I was going with that.
But you did it. You went there.
What was I saying in the beginning?
It was only 1940. No. Did I go too far back?
Yeah, you did. I don't remember.
I can't help you.
All right, well.
Unresolved point.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, so I was saying, it's a very over-the-top comical kind of a movie, but they are also, like, I feel like there were points where they were trying to be a little more sincere, and I feel like when I look at the movie from a slightly more serious side, that's what makes it more disappointing, that there wasn't a proper character arc for Renfield. I also thought they were a little too ham-fisted about the whole like codependency thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like towards the end they were like really like shoving it in your face, like it's okay to be a codependent, you have to take back your power, and I was like, is this a movie or a PSA? Like, what's happening here?
Yeah, it got a little bit much at there and there. I do want to add real quick, I also was a little disappointed there wasn't more of a story arc behind Rebecca and her like sister and her dad.
Yeah, so
like I felt she was like a very main character still, and she didn't really get any background.
Yeah, so they mentioned that her dad was like some super cop, and he was like a hero, and the captain says he was
like he was the
most uncorruptible cop he's ever seen. Mm-hmm. Blah blah blah, and her dad was murdered by the Lobo family, and so she has like this revenge mission, and she's out trying to get them, and she like arrests them several times, but obviously because all the rest of the cops are corrupt, they never go to prison. And then her sister, who works for the FBI, is also trying to build a case, but at some point she gets captured and killed by Dracula, but then same as the therapy people, they bring her back to life at the end with the blood. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they don't really, they like, I think there's only like two scenes with them together, and then another scene with her like on the phone, which is when she's asking about the pen.
I just like, you know, I never really grew any sort of attachment to the sister. And so whenever we saw her like get wheeled and dead, I was like, okay, whatever.
I definitely also, I wasn't expecting her to just be dead. I thought it was going to be one of those where it's like,
yeah,
follow torture me or I'll kill your sister. Yeah. Or they like torture her or kill her in front of her. But they're like, nope, already killed her.
Yeah. Like stiff and dead on this board.
And then he's like, but I can bring her back if you join me.
And that right there as well is a point I wanted to make, is that he was over there trying to convince her to be his familiar.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, they have to give consent to become a familiar. Don't necessarily, I kind of want to know what the ritual is, but even without that, that means they need his proper, like they, he needs their proper consent.
I suppose, yeah.
And so maybe that's why he's only had one familiar for 80 years. It's no one else really wanted hard. To join him. Yeah, it's really hard to convince
people. But obviously this giant crime family, they're like, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah, sure. Also, the Lobos don't feel like maybe the smartest group. They're just kind of like, I murder. Pew, pew. Stab, stab.
Yeah. Speaking of consent, I will say, I think one of probably my favorite joke in the movie is because a classic vampire rule is that they have to be invited to go in inside of any place. And he shows up at Renfield's apartment halfway through the movie. And he's like, how'd you get in? And then he looks and he has a doormat that says, welcome, come on in. And he's like, damn it.
Yeah. Which is really funny because I'm just like, really, from all the mats that you could have gotten.
But yeah, overall, I think a very funny movie and worth watching. Sad that it didn't get as much theater time as I feel like it deserved.
I think no matter how many time, like, moments that we were kind of nitpicking on things, at the end of the day, it's a good watch. I don't know if I'll watch it again. It's one of those movies where I'm enjoying it. Okay, well, past my bedtime. I am enjoying it, but not like at the edge of my seat trying to rewatch it again. It's one of those where I'm like, oh, if like someone hasn't watched it and we're trying to find a movie and it's been maybe like 5 years or longer, I'd be like, oh, if you want, there's this movie. But it's one of those movies, though, if I did rewatch it, I'd just be like, yeah, I know what happens.
Yeah,
but I feel like there are some. No, because I feel like there are some movies where I know what happens and I'm like, eh, whatever. I know what happens, but it was so meaningful and I connected to these characters so much that I'm willing to go through those moments again. But for this, because they didn't really character develop very well, I felt like I was like.
Eh. If we were like having a party and people wanted to just like get drunk and laugh at all the funny kills, I'd be willing to watch it again.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm willing to watch it for sure. I'm not going to like.
I refuse. I'll leave.
But not like gonna be at the top of my head like, oh, we should watch this and for me to rewatch.
Gotcha. But yeah, that's Renfield. Let's go ahead and move on to trivia.
Bum, bum, bum.
I don't have a whole lot of trivia for this, but I do have one piece of trivia here, which is that Nicolas Cage, when he started acting, had three roles that he dreamed of playing. And that was Dracula, which he played here, Superman, and Captain Nemo. Superman, he almost played in a Tim Burton movie called Superman Lives, but that movie never got made. But he did voice Superman in the Teen Titans Go movie in 2018. I don't think he's played Captain Nemo in anything yet.
What the heck is a Captain Nemo?
Captain Nemo is the protagonist from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
And what's that?
It's a novel that there's been movies and shows about it, but it's a novel about a journey of a submarine captain.
What the heck? The Superman, Dracula, Captain Nemo.
It's a Jules Verne novel. He's also wrote Journey to the Center of the Earth.
So it's like popular. Yeah. Okay.
It's a well-known story.
Got it. So he's done like one and a half of three.
I think voicing a character counts.
In Teen Titans Go.
It was a good movie. Honestly, we should do Teen Titans Go to the Movies. It was pretty good.
All right.
But yeah, that's my one trivia for this movie. I didn't
bashed immediately.
Didn't find really anything else of note. So that means it is time to get wrecked. I don't know if you've ever gotten wrecked before, because it's been a while since you've been on the podcast and also listened to the podcast.
Called out.
But we are going to give our audience a recommendation.
Last time I did this. Recommended something and I don't recall what, but I hope y'all did it.
Well, so. Time to recommend again. So I hope you've got something good for us.
You go first.
All right. For my recommendation, I would say I just recently finished playing The Last of Us. I know there's been a big hubbub about the HBO show recently, but I just finished playing part one, the video game. Great game. Absolutely A++. If you're looking for a new video game to play and you haven't played Last of Us, you should do that.
I mean, it definitely looked like a fun video game. If I were into video games, that required me to
think.
I would play that. But tell me I can make whatever decision I want. Absolutely not. Hey, no, you play Candy Crush. I like Halo, but you just go like straight. And there's like an arrow. That's what Last of Us
is too.
I don't know. It feels too real.
It's not an open world game. Halo's
like, you know what I need? This is what I've established.
You need
Xbox 360 and GameCube are the max graphics I can play a video game with. Anything more graphical than that, terrified, hate it, not interested.
So you just don't want things that look realistic.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Okay.
And also like suspense. I'm not trying to like hide.
It is a very suspenseful game. Yeah,
I'm not trying to like hide places.
There are some scary moments.
And like even like.
And, like dark tunnels and you like got your tiny little flashlight. Bleh, and you're like.
I would vomit.
Something's going to pop out of me probably.
Nope. Even the idea of it. No, thank you.
But for those of you who are a little more okay with a little bit of suspense, fantastic game. Absolutely. The performances are great. The gameplay is great. The story is great. It's mwah. All right, all right. Chef's kiss.
My recommendation is probably nothing that they've recommended. But I've been really into Bread Starter.
That's fair.
And I highly recommend creating your own sourdough starter. It's really addicting once you do it. And very, very little repercussion. Even if you're not really a bread maker, try it out. If she dies, it takes flour and water to like create a new one. And it makes new babies every single day.
If you feed it every single day.
But it's really cool. You should like kind of research on it. But they have a lot of books like Barnes & Noble or Pinterest and Google. And there's so many like YouTube channels that are dedicated to it. Just don't let yourself be overwhelmed, because 90% of people who post about like bread starters go like really, really in depth.
What's like another kind of bread starter? I feel like I only ever hear people talk about sourdough, but like...
I think there only is sourdough. Like, you can use different flour, but at the end of the day, having a starter is just like an active yeast concoction.
Do other breads not creates, need
that? So if you have yeast and water for a normal bread, you let it sit in some warm water, usually what, for like 5 minutes or till foamy. Okay. So that isn't long enough to create like an really active, alive yeast who's like growing and creating bacteria.
And sourdough is the only one that does that?
In general, when you let yeast grow, it creates sourdough.
Like what about a pumpernickel? People don't have pumpernickel starter?
You can make pumpernickel bread from your starter. It's not okay. So I think you're thinking like sourdough, like you can't make like white. I don't know. I don't know either.
I don't know what sourdough is. I thought it was just a type of bread like all other types of bread.
Yeah, it is. But it's like having a starter is how you make sourdough. Like that is what makes sourdough.
Okay.
White bread is just putting yeast in warm milk or something or water. Like the method is to create a starter. You can't make sourdough without having a starter.
Yeah, I know that.
So like there isn't like other versions of it, because sourdough is the method of having yeast be alive for a long period of time.
Okay.
Just like kombucha. You can't be like, but what? I can't have like the same stuff in kombucha sit on the counter and make soda. No, because soda is a completely different drink, even though it's a liquid.
That's true.
If that kind of helps make you realize what's happening here. But don't get me wrong, like you can feed it different like flours and it can have slightly different taste, you know, like you can do whole wheat or all purpose or rye or etc. So you can make it have different flavors, but at the end of the day, its core is sourdough.
Gotcha. I think it's just confusing because like all bread needs yeast, but sourdough needs like yeast sitting there for a long ass time, which is like a little different because like with
it's just different methods
with like a kombucha, like there's no other drinks that would use like that kind of bacteria. Like that's just a kombucha thing. It's not like you can use a little bit of that bacteria in a different thing, but you can use a little bit of yeast in a different thing and not be sourdough.
Yeah, like the SCOVY or whatever in kombucha. I wonder if you can use the SCOVY for something else though. We just don't know.
Maybe.
But
interesting. Good luck.
Yeah. Anyways, I recommend it. I wish that I knew all everyone that listens so I can all give you babies.
What if they're like halfway across the world?
I all want to give them all babies.
You're going to mail it to them?
I'll mail you a baby. It might smell like raw at the end, but it'll be there. But anyways, I'm aggressively addicted to that right now. But I don't know. Ask me in like 2 months or 3 months when vet school starts. We'll see if I can maintain a baby.
All right. Well, I believe that is it for our recommendations. So I would just like to remind our audience to please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review. Tell your friends and family about us. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CashFanPod. If you want to send us a message, you can do so on either of those platforms, or you can send an email to casualfanaticpodcast@gmail.com. This is usually where I would ask Luca to tell the audience what kind of messages the audience can send us.
I'll give examples. You can say, hey, I want to be a guest, like me. Or you can say, hey, I would really like you to do this movie. Or, hey, that was a crazy point you made about his bug eating. I think this. Or just, hey, I think you're really cool, but I think Elena's cooler than you. You know, just like crazy examples that you could do.
Yes. All of those are valid things that you can send us. Also, I would just like to say, so people are prepared for next week. Luca doesn't know this yet, but next week we're going to be talking about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Mm-hmm. So if you guys
want to
go see that, and then
prep yourself, and then
you'll be ready for when our next episode comes out.
Ooh, I'm excited to go watch that. Also, let me just throw out here, make sure to go on their Instagram and look at it, because he has some really, really cool images created with his AI, whatever, fancy word. That he uses. And they're really, really interesting creations of the films and things that they're reviewing.
Thank you.
Yeah, just a little shout out to you when you shout out.
So for everyone else, this has been Casual Fanatic. Thanks for listening.